episode 149.
Our first episode.
Oh, I gotta play the music.
Oh, crap.
Let's just let this roll. This is happening. This is actually on the air right now.
Yeah, it's a little bit like, you know, back when we weren't as polished.
It feels like our first episode. That's a mistake somebody making their first time.
Totally.
Okay, here we go. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Ben Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono.
And we
are back.
All right, Ben. First episode, another time loop. Sometimes people want to skip the time loops, but don't.
Don't skip this one.
This is our first episode, and we're going to play it from start to finish, unedited. In fact, I usually will edit out the news.
Uncensored, unedited.
Yeah, I usually edit out the news on these, but there's only 6 minutes, so we each had one piece of news.
Yeah.
So it's not... And there's no listener feedback because it was our first episode. So the whole thing is worth a listen.
Yeah, totally. Plus, you got to kind of get into the feel of the episode, you know, with how did they do news back then? Mm-hmm. Well, this is how they did news back then.
So it's interesting. So. And this is all in preparation for our big 150.
Yeah.
So that's coming up next, of course. And so we'll be... So in this episode, you're going to hear us talk about our current, at that point, which was we filmed or recorded that on January 11th, 2011.
Man, long time ago.
Yeah, and so we talked about our top five current favorite sci-fi things and top five all-time favorite sci-fi things.
Yeah.
And we're going to do something very similar in the next episode to kind of see where have we gone? What's been happening over the last 2+ years, over the last 150 episodes?
Man, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so anything else you want to say before we send it to the main topic, which is a whole episode?
I listened to some of this last night, and I actually think that even though we've improved, we were pretty darn good back in the day.
Nice, Ben. I listened to it this morning, and it is kind of fun to hear how it all began.
Yeah.
So here we go.
I was a lot less negative back then.
That's true.
But now I'm right a lot more often, so that's good.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
Welcome, Ben.
Welcome, Matt, to the world premiere the Sci-Fi Christian.
That's right, the very first episode of the Sci-Fi Christian, our brand new podcast.
Yeah.
So, Ben, tell us, what are we going to do here on the Sci-Fi Christian?
I have no idea. We're supposed to do something?
I should have given you the notes.
I guess so. No, what we're going to be doing is this show is going to be kind of a mash-em-up show, you might say.
Mash-em-up? What do you mean?
We are taking two distinct categories of topics.
Things we both like.
Yes, and bringing them together. And we'll talk in a minute about why we both like these things, because they're major parts of both of our lives.
We should do it right now, since this is the intro.
Should we say what the topics are?
I think it might be self-explanatory.
Science fiction.
Science fiction and
theology.
Yeah, Christian stuff.
So those are the two topics that most people might think don't go together. We think they do, and we have this entire show for the rest of our lives.
To prove it.
To prove it, because we have a lifetime contract on this.
Well, that's awesome.
That's awesome, yeah.
So Sci-Fi Christian, here's where it came from.
Yep.
We have done podcasts in the past.
Yes.
That was mostly Christian-oriented.
Yes.
Which is great. But often in the course of that conversation, something would come up that was sci-fi-ish.
10-minute conversations about zombies and comic books.
Yeah, yeah. So we decided we need to have an outlet where we can still talk about Christian theology, God, whatever we want to talk about. But at the same time, let's bring in this other interest we have.
Yeah, and even before we did the Life Report, which is our Christian podcast, we did something mostly you did, but I guest hosted sometimes this last year, The Lost Report, which was kind of our first foray into video podcasting.
Yes, The Lost Report. Now, this obviously Lost is over now, but this was a huge part of my life, a great show I loved. And so we did The Lost Report, a video podcast that you can find on YouTube still, just covering the last season.
Yeah, and it's worth mentioning because if it wasn't for The Lost Report, I don't think I would be your co-host right now.
I don't even know how good of friends we would be if it wasn't for Lost.
Probably not. I mean, I wasn't really interested even on being on camera. And then we were all watching a show one night.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I got to be on.
Yeah, you sat next to me.
And then I got addicted.
Yeah.
And I was half in the picture that first night, which was kind of weird. But then I was on the post show, and then we did a few more together.
Yeah.
And I got absolutely addicted.
By the end of the season, you were super into it.
Oh, yeah. It was so much fun.
Yeah, so...
I was wishing I could have done every one with you, but...
I wish I had started The Lost Report earlier, because I've been obsessed with Lost since season one.
Yeah.
But didn't And I've been listening to podcasts since around, I'd say, 2005 or 2006. So right from when they first came out. I wish I'd started a podcast a lot sooner.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
But we didn't know each other until recently, so it wouldn't have been as good.
It was meant to be.
Because this is all about chemistry, baby.
Well, wait a second. Now, that's totally inappropriate. Not that kind of chemistry.
Well, no, not that kind of chemistry.
We just have similar interests.
Exactly. Chemistry, baby.
Okay. So, Ben, tell me about yourself.
Well, this, it even goes beyond just kind of what we've podcasted in the past. I mean, this is kind of a combination maybe of those two podcasts we've done. Mm-hmm. But you and I are both in seminary right now.
It's true.
Northwestern College in
Roseville, Minnesota.
Roseville, Minnesota. So we're both pursuing that. I actually work at a church.
And I recently got a job at the church, non-paid,
yeah,
volunteering.
Well, welcome to the club.
I am the youth director.
Pretty much everyone's non-paid.
What's your role, Ben?
I am currently the pastoral ministry intern, but that might be changing soon.
So you're kind of like second in command of all pastoring.
Yeah. Even though I'm an intern, we're a very small church, so being an intern's a lot bigger deal at a 100-person church than it is at a 2,000-person church.
Yeah, here's a shout-out to our church, epiclifeonline.org.
Yeah, so check them out.
Yeah. So,
but even before I got into ministry, I am a lifelong nerd and completely unapologetic about it.
I thought you were going to say lifelong lover of Christ.
That too.
I'm only a partial lifelong lover of Christ.
Well. But a lifelong lover of sci-fi, anyway.
I think I've actually liked sci-fi longer than I've liked Jesus.
So what were some of your first forays into, let's just call it genre fiction?
Sure, sure.
Cast a little wider net than just science fiction.
Yeah, we should actually say that we're not going to just focus on like space adventure sci-fi. Yeah. We're looking at fantasy, like you had mentioned before,
horror.
Superhero. Well, horror, really? Are we going there?
I like horror.
I don't like horror. But that's one of the things you'll find out in this episode. We're going to talk about some of our different interests.
Yes.
So you can get to know us as hosts and choose your side.
Yeah.
So what else besides fantasy, horror, superhero, comic area? Let's see. We talked about, of course, typical spacey things.
Those kind of covered for the big...
Did I say fantasy?
Yeah, you said fantasy. Okay. For the big categories of genre fiction.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to talk about, you know, melodramatic romance novels or anything like that.
What? What if they're set in an alternate dimension?
Like Twilight?
That's not an alternate dimension.
Yeah. Well, it's like a different... That's more genre fiction.
What? I was... Yeah. No, because vampires exist, right? No?
Oh, yeah. That's right. No, but we should seriously, one of the things I want to do in a future episode is actually do a Twilight episode.
What? Why?
No. Here's my rationale on that. Here's my rationale. I'm not a Twilight fan.
Okay. Me
You're
either.
Not a Twilight fan. In fact, I think we're both fairly anti-Twilight
fans. I'm not anti. In fact, I've not read any of the books, but I've watched two of the three movies available, and uh-huh. I recently rented the third one and never watched it, but... So I'll watch the movies for entertainment purposes.
I am actually in an agreement right now to watch one of the movies.
Interesting. So we have friends over there. Maybe we could bring them on as...
Well, and here's my point, is even co-host. Though I'm not excited about Twilight, mm-hmm. I think it's cool that there's a whole bunch of girls who are getting into genre fiction, getting into the whole, you know, geek culture type of thing that, you know, all of us have been a part of for a long time, and they've all looked at us like we're really weird, and now they're on the inside. So to me, that's really cool.
It's cool if we could get co-hosts, like friends or anybody from the audience that wants to fly to Minnesota to record with us.
Oh, we don't need someone to fly.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Sarah is a huge Twilight fan.
But, I mean, we could Skype people in, too.
Yeah, we can Skype people in.
Yeah, so if there's things like Twilight that we're not as into, we could have some guest hosts and
definitely
talk about it. We're not opposed to that.
So, and that's something that I want to do because you and I have our interests, but I want to bring in other people who maybe have stuff that we don't like Twilight, and then we can just talk about all this geek stuff here and have a good time because that's part of what nerddom is all about, is debating.
We should have a segment where they try to convince us to enjoy their thing.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm going to actually wind up watching at least one Twilight movie because here's the deal. I had a New Year's party here at my house on New Year's Eve, obviously.
Good one.
Redundant.
Okay.
And we were watching Star Wars. And one of the people who was there, Sarah, who's been a guest host with us on the Life Report, had never seen Star Wars.
That's amazing.
And she wasn't sure she actually wanted to watch it. And so we were watching Star Wars, and I made a deal with her. If you watch Star Wars, I will sit down and watch Twilight with you.
Oh, fair. Very fair.
I don't know how I feel about that deal, but... at some point, she'll enforce that. I'm not going to remind her, though. So,
yikes.
Unless she's listening to the Sci-Fi Christian. Whoops.
So, Ben, let's talk about a little bit more about the format. So,
yeah,
obviously, we're right now kind of introducing ourselves, but on a typical show, we're going to be telling some different news that's going on.
We're gonna give you some of the latest highlights and genre news.
And so we can talk about...
Because you and I read this stuff voraciously.
Exactly. We could talk about any recent movies or shows are out right now.
Yep, there's going to be some reviews. But then the other thing we're going to do to bring in more of the Christian part is that we're also going to talk about maybe some of the philosophy behind what mm-hmm. we're seeing, the theology, and then overall genre topics. Maybe we'll pull in something that and then debate it from a Christian perspective. And how does this really cool idea like cloning or something like that line up with what the Bible teaches?
That sounds awesome.
So I think we're going to have some really good debates too.
I'm pumped.
Because for all of this stuff, I could easily take either side on that, like as far as cloning. I mean, that's more of a political topic now, but you think of, you know, some far-fetched futuristic sci-fi topic like switching bodies.
Yeah.
Is something like that, would that be a compatible with biblical Christianity? I could easily take either side and debate it, so we will have some good debates.
Or like, how does God feel about teleportation?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because teleportation, you're entirely broken down and then reconstructed, theoretically. Did you die?
Is that a form of suicide?
Exactly.
Interesting.
So we are going to have some really great philosophical debates on the show.
One of the things that made me think of really wanting to push forward with the Sci-Fi Christian is that on last week's episode of The Life Report,
mm-hmm.
I mentioned at the very end that possibly Jesus could have been a zombie.
Yes.
Because technically zombies are just corpses that are reanimated.
Well,
and so,
and that's where I think that debate's going to come down when we eventually have it, is how do you define zombie?
So I was surprised by how many people were offended by me saying that Jesus might have been a zombie.
It's because I don't think people think of zombies as just undead corpses.
Because clearly I was joking around. Right. I don't think Jesus was a zombie, right. But it's interesting to talk about.
Totally.
So we'll do it here on The Sci-Fi Christian.
But not today. Maybe next week.
You know, let's talk about what's up next. So you said that I think that you might have some news for
today. Yeah, we're going to go into the news segment. Should we kick it off?
Let's do the transition sound.
Sci-fi news.
Sci-fi news.
All right. Well, you've got one item, but I'll start us off with a little bit of Hobbit news on the upcoming Hobbit movie.
Ooh, good. Let's hear
it. We actually had three big announcements this last week. Two of them expected, and one of them a pretty big surprise.
Tell me.
So the first two are that Ian McKellen and Andy Serkis, who played Gandalf and Gollum respectively in the Lord of the Rings movies, have officially signed on to return for the two Hobbit movies.
Was that was expected, wasn't it?
That was expected, but it wasn't official until this last week.
So what was unexpected?
Well, the unexpected one, and I want to get your thoughts on this,
okay,
is that Elijah Wood, who played Frodo in Lord of the Rings, mm-hmm. and Frodo is not a character in The Hobbit.
Are you aware, Ben?
Is going to be in the two Hobbit movies.
Yeah, I heard about that. And are you also aware that Orlando Bloom has signed on to be in The Hobbit?
I hadn't heard that.
And he is also his character.
But he's a lot easier to work in. That makes sense because there's a sequence in The Hobbit.
No spoilers.
But there's a sequence that involves elves in Mirkwood, which is where Legolas was from. So he'd be really easy to work in.
So from the news I'm following, it seems as if they're trying to get everybody from the Lord of the Rings trilogy to appear in some capacity, even if it's just a cameo in The Hobbit.
Well, here's apparently how they're doing Frodo's part in The Hobbit.
Okay.
Is that it's actually going to be a framing mm-hmm. part where Bilbo's telling the story of what he did in his youth and Frodo's mm-hmm. present during that or something along those lines. So it's not that they're actually rewriting the story. But I honestly have a little bit of mixed feelings about it.
Do you? Yeah, it is kind of weird. So it's going to be strange that they're going to have probably a different actor playing Bilbo, but all of the same actors from the other movies.
Well, maybe they'll get Ian Holm to do Bilbo during the framing section as older Bilbo or something.
Oh, that makes sense.
It makes sense. Bilbo's quite a bit younger in The Hobbit. It takes place a long time before Lord of the Rings.
You know I've never read The Hobbit, don't you?
I know. You've never read Lord of the Rings either.
It's true.
Shame on you.
Earlier this year, I almost gave away my copy of The Hobbit until Ben...
I was furious.
He stopped me. No, I wouldn't say furious.
Do you want to know what I told you? This is what I told you.
What? It's a trap! That's not what you said.
Well, more or less.
Giving
away your copy of The Hobbit is a trap.
Well, that's interesting. But so I kept it, and I vow to read it before the movie comes out.
Yes.
So what year does it come out? 2012?
I think it's coming out... Christmas 2012 is the first one, but they're starting to film early next year.
Okay, so You heard it here first. I will read The Hobbit within the next year and a half. No, two years almost.
Yep.
No, one.
No. Year and a half?
Almost 2 years. So
sometimes
what other news do you have?
That was it.
That was it. This is really.
But then you were going to give us an overview of The Cape, which you watched this last week.
Let's do a little review.
We had a big genre show premiere this week, The Cape. I did not watch it, but you did.
That's right. So give me that sound again so I can say.
Okay.
Go. Movie review. Oops. Television review.
Television review.
So, hey, I'm Matt Anderson here with sci-fi.
This was supposed to be part of the news section, which is why I didn't come up with more news.
Sci-fi movie review. TV review. So there's a TV show called The Cape.
Uh-huh.
It debuted. Wait,
let me tell you what I've heard of it.
Okay.
You tell me the details. I'll tell you what I've heard of it. Then you give the review.
All right. Wait. You want me to go first or you're going first?
Well, you're going to give me the details of it.
All right. So here it is. The Cape on NBC.
But no commentary yet.
No commentary. Here's what happened. No, yes. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to spoil anything. But
okay.
I tuned in for just the first hour of the two-hour premiere.
Yes.
I actually watched it on Monday night. They re-showed it. And I wasn't expecting much because even though I like the genre of superheroes, there's been a bad track record for
it's gotten really bad
for
reviews.
Heroes on TV.
I was actually really looking forward to The Cape.
Wait, you haven't heard my review yet.
Well, I'm going to give you my what I've heard.
Okay, let's hear
it. We'll see if you match up with it.
Okay.
So here's why I was looking forward to it. Because, A, it's a superhero movie, and that's awesome. Our superhero show. Mm-hmm. And number two, it has Summer Glau in it.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Summer Glau.
Yep, she's
good. You know what I mean? For her acting abilities only, of course.
She's good.
But, yeah, she's a great actress. Was in Firefly, 4400, Sarah Connor Chronicles, Dollhouse. Just fantastic actress.
That's right.
Yeah, she was in Dollhouse.
Yeah, that's right. She was awesome in Dollhouse.
She was really, really good. And she was kind of cast against type there, so it was sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But she's one of my favorite actresses, so I was really looking forward to it for her for those reasons. And then just because it looked cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read the reviews that said it was terrible, so I did not watch it.
I'm going to fight back against the reviews and say it wasn't so terrible. It was okay. It wasn't. If it had been awesome, I would have been forced to watch both hours.
Right.
But because of homework responsibilities, I said, all right, I'm just going to do 1 hour and be complete.
Yeah, and that's my argument, is that I got so much going on in my life right now.
Yeah.
I'm not willing to just sit down and, you know, watch something that's just okay. Yeah. I want to watch stuff that's awesome.
Yeah, these days, I'm really worried about television because they don't stick with shows. So,
yeah.
Like, The Event I've been watching, but I'm really worried it's going to get canceled. And
quit it.
Flash forward, I watched OWL last season,
yeah,
and then
boring.
It got canceled. I watched and I thought it was going to get canceled, and then it just started second season, which
it'll get canceled soon.
Yeah, the premiere episode of You, I wasn't too impressed with.
That's what I heard. I did not watch. I watched the first season, but I have not watched the second season yet because I heard it was bad.
Yeah, what you're doing is good. Just wait and see how it goes, mm-hmm. and then if you hear really good things, watch it at the end.
Well, I started The Event, and what I realized is that I didn't care about any of the characters.
It gets better. I like The Event.
Boring characters.
It's not as good as Lost.
Same thing as Flash Forward. The characters are just so dull and uninteresting.
Totally true. But Event is doing something cool that's identical to Lost, where they flashback, and it tends to give one character their own episode. Not universally, but it tends to. And it does help you care about the characters more, which is one of the big strengths of Lost.
Yeah. I mean, we can talk about Lost later on.
Yeah.
But, for sure, a great, great character show.
So that's all I have to say about The Cape. It's okay. I'll keep you updated if it seems.
Are you going to keep watching it?
I'll probably watch maybe at least two more episodes.
You have to watch hour two then.
Hour two and maybe another two after that.
Yeah, I would not.
So.
But you do your part for the show.
Thank you. Well, you know, we've been talking about what we like, what we don't like about things. I'm ready to talk about
our
top five.
Should we get to the top five?
We're going to do that sound every time, huh?
Oh, it's our transition sound. We'll figure it out.
Okay, good.
It's just episode one, so we got room for improvement.
So for our top five, originally me and Ben talked about giving our all-time favorite top five sci-fi things.
Yes.
Or genres or properties, whatever.
I kept it just sci-fi.
Okay.
Because
I did not.
That's okay. But I knew that I could not do it if it was everything.
Right. And so then I also recommended that we maybe just give you our current interests. These are obviously not all-time favorites, but things that we're interested in right now. Let's do current first.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Okay.
Should we alternate?
Yeah, let's just go our five, four, three, two.
No, let me explain, because I was a little confusing. I did not do everything for the all time.
Okay.
I just did science fiction for that. Mm-hmm. But I did multiple genre things for the current because I'm not into as much stuff, so it was easier to choose.
Ben, I would like it if you went first.
Number five.
Number five.
On the Ben DiBono countdown on the Sci-Fi Christian.
Okay.
The Wheel of Time series.
I have not heard of this.
This is a fantasy series that has been going on for about 20 years.
Oh, my gosh.
It is currently 13 books long plus one prequel book.
Wow.
Each book is about 1,000 pages long.
How? And you've read all of them?
I've read all of them. Here's why it's on my current. There is one book left in the series that's coming out sometime in the next year. That will end the series.
That's amazing. How do you feel about that? I mean, after this big of a commitment.
Because here's the thing. Robert Jordan is the main author on the series. And he died
in
2007. But before he died, he spent his final hours and months and weeks, because he had cancer, so he knew he was on his way out, writing down notes for the final books. So he had everything very detailed, outlined and everything. Mm-hmm. So Brandon Sanderson, who's another sci-fi author, has taken his notes, has written two books, so he had enough material for three more books. Has written two books and is now working on the last one. He's done a great job on the first two books.
Is this new author equally as good?
No.
Okay,
he's so
there's a clear
good,
difference.
But he's very good at writing in this world. So he's doing a great job, in my opinion.
Cool.
But obviously, you know, you got a guy who's been writing in one series for 20 years and then he dies. Nobody's going to be able to take that over.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's finally almost over. It's been a great series. Had its rough moments where it's gotten a little slow in a few books. But now the pacing's back. Stuff's happening. We're finally seeing storylines that have been out there for over 10 years unresolved. Be wrapped up.
Wow.
And mysteries of questions that we've had for like 10, 15 years being answered.
You're actually making me really excited about this.
So it's so sweet. It's finally going to be wrapped up in the next year.
So remind our listeners again, what kind of commitment would they have to make if they wanted to read these?
A big one.
How many books?
There are 13 books plus one prequel. Every book in hardcover is about 600-700 pages.
Okay. So
in paperback, 1,000 plus.
Wow. That sounds pretty cool.
Huge commitment, but good series.
All right.
What's your five?
Number five for Matt Anderson is Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
I have that from Netflix right now.
I know. And that's why I know we're not going to talk about it a lot right now because we can do a review later.
Yeah.
But I rented this movie out of the Redbox and it was totally worth my $1.
Awesome.
It was super awesome. And it even inspired me. After I rented it, I had to take a trip, and so I was at an airport, and luckily they had some of the graphic novels, which it's based on, and so I flipped through. I mean, I didn't really get a chance to really get into them, and they only had, like, book seven.
Yeah.
But it was still kind of cool just flipping through. So I would encourage people to either check out the graphic novels, which I heard are good, or check out the movie, which was awesome.
I want to check out both. You know what? If you decide to blow off your homework tonight
and
want to stay till 1 a.m., we can watch the movie.
I don't think I can, but I do appreciate the invitation.
Something to keep in the back of your mind for if you're feeling irresponsible in a couple hours.
So, awesome movie, but let's not talk about it too much. I don't want to spoil a thing for you.
Awesome. Number four for me, Fringe.
Number four, Fringe. That's a great show.
Which is a current sci-fi show on right now from J.J. Abrams, Bad Robot Company, same production company that did Lost.
Exactly.
It is nowhere near as good as Lost. But here's why I like it. It has a really good overarching mythology storyline.
Mm-hmm.
The standalone episodes bore me to tears. I really don't care about them.
Yeah.
But the overarching storyline with multiple universes and great characters is absolutely fascinating. I like where they're going with it. I hope that they get another season or two, but I hope it also doesn't run any longer than that. I think it's probably about a 4 to 5 season show.
I also like that show, and that was a good description.
Yeah. So I'm enjoying it right now. It's not my favorite thing in the world, but that's one where I talked about how I only watch TV if it's really good. That one's good enough for me to tune into and DVR every single week.
Good. Good. Well, number four for me is The Avengers.
Nice.
Are you familiar with The Avengers?
Yeah. It's not even out yet.
It's not. But it's not. I'm not just saying the movie. Avengers. I'm into the Avengers right now because of the movie, though. I've been reading comic books. Well, actually,
Joss Whedon is directing.
I started reading comic books when I was like 10, and then I stopped for years and years. And now, every now and then, I'll check out the trade paperbacks of things because I don't think I would ever go back to buying month by month. That would be crazy. But the Avengers this movie is coming out, and I love what they're doing. So the Marvel movies, the superhero movies, are building upon themselves. So they're putting little pieces of the puzzle in each of their movies. This year that we're in right now, both Thor and Captain America will be coming out.
Yep.
And they are going to play a part in the upcoming Avengers film in 2012. I've been looking forward to this movie for 3 years since I first heard it was going to be coming out. So
now I have to say that my feelings on it are very, very divided.
Okay.
Because on the one hand, I am so excited about Joss Whedon directing. That's going to be absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I was a whole lot more excited about it before I saw Iron Man 2, which was a horrible disappointment.
I liked Iron Man 2. Not as much as 1, but I liked it. But
it was boring and convoluted and stupid.
I want to give minor possible spoilers about the movie, because I don't know what it's going to be about.
So if you don't want any spoilers, turn off your iPod for 20 seconds.
20 seconds, because these are all rumors. But I've heard some potential storylines that could happen with the Avengers. So in Marvel Universe, there's two alien races.
Yep.
One is the Skrulls, and one are the Kree. And so the Avengers movie might be involved in some sort of war between the Kree and the Skrull.
Yeah, which is a major event in the Marvel
universe. And that would be what would... Because we're trying to think of what would require all of these superheroes to come together. Another thing...
Just that it's cool.
Yeah, another thing could be that the Hulk is actually the villain in the Avengers, and that he rampages, goes crazy, and that the superheroes have to unite to stop him.
I think it's going to be both.
Who knows? And then... I also heard something about it potentially having to do with the Cosmic Cube, which
has now been confirmed it's going to be in Captain America.
I was going to save that spoiler, but thanks for ruining it for our friends listening.
Sorry.
So
that was a piece of news we could have done today.
Right. So, well, we don't know how big of a role that will play. So don't
well, they
worry.
Released a promotional photo
it can't be
with
that big
it, so I don't consider that a spoiler if they actually released a picture
That's
of
a really
it.
Good point.
Yeah.
So the Avengers, I haven't really followed the comic books a lot. I've read a few here and there.
Yep.
But I'm excited about this movie and about a superhero team in general.
Here's the only thing I wish they were doing a little different. I wish the Spider-Man series was still going on, because, you know, Spider-Man's sometimes a member of the Avengers. Yeah. And that would have been kind of cool to work him in from the Spider-Man series.
Yeah, but you know why they can't, right?
No.
Oh.
Is it a rights issue?
Yeah, there's a rights issue. Sony owns the rights to, I believe, Spider-Man. And I think it's Fox that owns the rights to the Fantastic Four.
Gotcha.
And then Marvel, however, they have their own entertainment company now, and they have most of the others.
Yeah, either way, I'm actually really excited for the Spider-Man reboot, too.
Yeah, it looks good.
With Mark Webb, who did 500 Days of Summer, which was a great movie.
Yeah.
And Andrew Garfield playing Peter Parker, and he was fantastic in Social Network.
I'm totally renting that this week.
You have to.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's so good.
Let's hear yours.
Number three for me. I'm kind of grouping a lot of things together right now. Graphic novels is my number three.
So that falls right in line with what I was saying.
Yeah, with emphasis on the series Fables.
Oh, interesting.
Which I've started to read. The reason I'm doing graphic novels is I'm super busy with my life right now. Mm-hmm. I love to read fiction, but I don't have a ton of time. So graphic novels actually kind of give me a way to get a really good story in a lot less time. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy that. I can get through one pretty quick, and they're fun to read. Good stories, good characters, you know, and it's not just the old-timey DC stuff that is so-so, but, you know, there's actually some really good original stories like Fables. The premise of Fables is actually pretty interesting. The idea is that you've got all your storybook, fairy tale characters, and they all kind of lived in their own world that was then invaded by the adversary, who we don't know a whole lot about.
Don't spoil too much.
This is something you find out in, like, the first issue.
Okay.
So it's not a spoiler. Their land is invaded by the adversary, and they actually flee to New York City. So the Fables have their own underground community in New York City.
Upon your recommendation, I might stay and read a few of the pages tonight.
Really good. I've read the first two volumes, and I think there's something like 15 volumes, so I have a way to go.
That's crazy.
But it's been an awesome, awesome series. Also a big fan of, when it comes to original series, Neil Gaiman's... What am I thinking of? Sandman.
Sandman
is a great series.
I've never read that as well.
Yeah, I have all of those.
So I think when it comes to graphic novels, I've stuck with almost always just the mainstream superheroes. However, I did read Why the Last Man last year.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I've heard it's really good.
That was really good. But I'm excited to read Fables next.
See, here's where I am with graphic novels right now. Unless it's an awesome story, I'm not that interested in the mainline superheroes because... I think that too often the stories are lazy and recycled because people buy it just because it's Batman.
Yeah, I hear you.
So it's a lot harder to find good original stories with the superheroes than it is somebody like Bill Willingham who just comes up with the Fables universe and starts writing it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Just sweet.
My number three is actually a classic, but it's also currently one of my favorite things going.
Okay.
And I'm going to reach down and grab a couple DVDs that I bought.
Okay.
All right, so these in my hand are collections of Star Trek.
For real?
Yes. No, listen to this. No, these are not like the seasons. They're themed. So as you know, Ben, I have two particular favorite themes.
Yes. Can I guess what they are?
Yes.
Multiple universes.
Alternate realities, correct.
And I don't know what the second one is.
Time travel. So I bought these, and they're Star Trek fan collections.
Yeah, well, you should hold them up for the camera.
Sure, we have the camera going.
You can watch clips of maybe not this clip. We'll see what we actually put up online.
Yeah, so anyways, what these do is they take from Star Trek the original series, Star Trek Next Generation, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Star Trek Voyager, Star Trek Enterprise. I think that's it. And they extract the themed episodes from all of the series and put them into one fan collection.
That's pretty sweet.
It's pretty cool. So, but I don't know if, I'm not super into all of the Star Trek episodes. I don't necessarily know all of the ins and outs of that universe. But because I like these themes, I'm super into these. Except for you might be able to notice I haven't opened the time travel one yet.
Yeah.
Alternate realities, that's one of my favorites.
So when you picked up the box there,
yeah,
it looks like the cover to Sixth Sense. So I thought you were going to say M. Night Shyamalan movies, and boy, I was going to rip into you for that one.
Oh, I should also add,
after the crappening.
As Star Trek as a theme, I loved the movie that came out recently.
Yeah.
And I just watched it again around Christmas. Actually, at my dad's house, they had it on during Christmas, and it was awesome.
Yeah. I am not a Trekkie at all.
Yeah.
I don't like Star Trek.
You actually just don't – you don't like it, actually?
Not really.
I enjoy it.
I might want like something like that where I sit down and watch individual episodes, and yeah. I love the new movie.
Me too.
But like the original series, yawn.
Yeah, there are even some parts of this fan collection you, are a little bit boring.
I liked Wrath of Khan. It's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the first Star Trek movie, Star Trek the Motion Picture,
yeah,
is one of the most excruciatingly painful, boring experiences I have ever sat through.
Hey, you know what's cool? I'm going to talk something nice
about
Star Trek.
They fly around the Enterprise for 5 minutes when Captain Kirk comes on board. It is nothing but Captain Kirk staring at the stupid ship for 5 minutes. It is the biggest waste of time.
I don't remember that at all.
I hated that movie.
Here's something else that's good about these fan collections.
Not that I felt strongly about it.
I didn't follow Voyager and Star Trek Enterprise, or even Deep Space Nine very closely. I did watch quite a bit of Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
But as they've taken out these episodes, it's still, the theme is so interesting. The episodes are pretty good themselves.
Yeah.
So you don't have to, I would recommend these because you don't have to know the storylines
and
everything.
And I might be wrong on this, and we can get emails if I am, but I don't think Star Trek is nearly as arc-heavy as some modern shows like Battlestar or Lost or...
That's true. It's very episodic.
Yeah, a lot more episodic.
But they do have continuity that they try to stick with.
Oh, sure. I'm not saying there's not continuity, but it's not like, oh, crap, I missed an episode and now I'm going to be terribly lost if I just try and jump back in the way it was with Lost.
Exactly.
No, nothing's like as bad as Lost was. Well, not bad because I enjoy that, yeah, but like as much.
You had to watch every episode.
Yeah, Lost, you would be lost if you missed anything.
All right, let's hear your next... Number two.
My number two is an ultra low budget movie I discovered recently called Ink.
You told me about this. I haven't watched it yet.
It is such a great movie.
Since I haven't watched it yet, I deserve to hear a little bit of, because I usually don't like to hear anything about a movie. He just recommended it. I was going to watch it, but I haven't yet. So go ahead.
I'm not going to give a lot of spoilers for it because it's something where even if I describe the plot for you,
yeah,
you really just need to experience the movie.
Okay, that's good. And it's available free on Hulu, right?
I believe it was when I sent it to you. I don't know if it still is. Otherwise, it's on Netflix. But definitely check Hulu first.
Okay.
Unless you're a Netflix subscriber, and then just go there, which you are right now.
Not yet, but I will be soon.
So you can get it on Netflix. It's a great movie. It is super low budget. They do a great job like stretching their budget with awesome special effects. There are a couple places where it's like, okay, that was a little cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, incredible story, great characters. I'm not even going to describe the plot. You just need to – you can go out on Wikipedia or something if you want to read a brief summary. But It's a fantastic sci-fi fantasy movie that is really, really deep and philosophical, too. So exciting, great action, great themes, great characters. I loved this movie.
I'm glad to hear it. I will definitely watch it at some point in the next
It's incredible.
4 months.
Like, for me, I sat down to watch a cool sci-fi movie when I saw it, and it was that. But then it also blew me away with how deep it was and how deeply it affected me emotionally watching the movie.
I just realized, though, you also recommended a movie called Sunshine to me that was lame.
I love Sunshine, and you are wrong.
So
maybe
this,
wrong.
Maybe this will be good.
No, it's good. It's super good.
My number two is Fringe. And
That's a little high.
I agree. No, I love Fringe. It's the only show that I must watch, except for maybe The Office. And also Community.
The Office sucks.
And I also like Outsourced.
I have not seen Community or Outsourced.
Oh, Community is maybe Community is my favorite sitcom on right now.
Parks and Recreation.
I haven't watched it since season one.
You need to watch season two. So much better.
All right. So Fringe. I like it. For all the reasons you said before, and I also dislike it for all the reasons you said before, except for I think I might like the individual episodes a tiny bit more than you.
Yeah, I am utterly bored by them.
Fringe, I almost quit watching because at the very beginning it was very episodic.
I was this close to not watching it anymore.
And I really like serialized shows,
yep,
such as Lost, which have an ongoing storyline that continue on and on. But Fringe, it kept me holding on because the very end of each of the episodes in season one had just a little bit of the overarching storyline. And
yes,
it was enough where I was just looking forward to the last 2 minutes of the show.
Yep.
And then the end of season one where they introduced alternate realities, which, as I said, is one of my favorite themes.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
In sci-fi was awesome. So I am in it for the long haul.
And season two almost went the same way for me, where the beginning of season two I thought was pretty boring and pretty weak.
Okay.
And then the second half of season two was incredible.
Yeah, I like season two.
Yeah.
And now season three.
Season three's been great.
Yeah, all great.
So
I'm ready to hear your number one.
My number one is another cheat. I'm combining a lot of things under the banner of Mutant Enemy Productions.
Amazing.
Which is Joss Whedon's production company.
Can I say that is as well my number one?
Really?
Dollhouse, Firefly, and I'm just starting to watch Buffy for the first
time. Yeah, you and I watched Firefly this summer, and that was my first Joss Whedon experience. I'd seen Serenity when it was in theaters, but
my first
doesn't count.
Yeah, my first was Dollhouse. I started watching it last year, was it, when it first came out, and liked it. I was so glad I got season two, or that season two came out.
Yeah, but season two was great.
Then it unfortunately got canceled.
But yeah, but it was a really solid show. What's there is fantastic in Dollhouse.
And then I watched Firefly for the first time.
Firefly is an incredible show.
Last summer. You and I watched it together.
Yeah, my favorite show of all time.
Oh, man, it was awesome.
Which we'll get to all-time stuff pretty soon. And then right now I'm watching Buffy and Angel because I'm at season four, which is where Angel and Buffy split. And so there's a correct order. You should watch the episodes in. And I got to say, Buffy gets better and better and better. Season one, which is where you are, right?
Yeah, I just watched episode three.
Nice. Is good, but it's not amazing. Uh-huh. The characters are good, and you go for the characters, and you get to meet these people, and you see the chemistry between the cast, and that starts to develop. And so season one is good. Season two is phenomenal. It has actually my favorite episode so far called Passions. I won't tell you anything about it.
Thank you.
But it's a great, great episode, great storylines in there. Season three is really good. And season four has been absolutely incredible. It's Firefly good is how good it is.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to getting there. I think I have a long journey ahead of me, though.
I think a lot of people, though, don't watch Buffy because they're turned off by the name. Like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You got to watch it. It blows those cliches out of the water. And that's what the whole premise of the show is. It's taking something that should be ridiculous, treating it seriously, and doing amazing character work with it.
Yeah, because I heard that he said, in typical horror genre, there's, the blonde girl, yep, she's defenseless, walking down an alley, and she gets attacked by a monster.
Yeah.
Well, what if the blonde girl fought back? And that's what Buffy is.
Exactly. So it's a great show. I absolutely love it. Season four has, like I said, been, it's right up there with Firefly, how good it is.
Well, that's great. You know what? Because we both like Joss Whedon so much, and some of his things would almost be on our all-time favorites.
Maybe are. We'll see.
Let's see what... I think we should go on to our all-time top five favorite things as of right now.
Nice.
Do we have any sound
effects? Kick it off?
Do we have any sound effects?
Just the R2. Maybe I should get more transition sounds. But I love R2. Who doesn't love R2?
Good work. All right. Why don't you go ahead and start us off here?
All right. My number five, which actually just switched places with my number four right before we recorded the show.
Oh, really?
So it's very close. Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, awesome show.
Love that show.
Yeah, that's good.
I could have easily placed the X-Files in this slot, too. Mm-hmm. I chose Battlestar over the X-Files because even though I love the X-Files, it ended really, really weak.
That's exactly how I feel. When I think of the X-Files, it's hard not to remember the end.
Yeah.
And how bad it was.
I mean...
And the most recent movie.
Oh, the most recent movie was awful.
It's like they're ruining the X-Files legacy.
Yeah. But, you know, the first seven seasons are really great of the X-Files. Mm-hmm. Love that show. Love Mulder and Scully. But Battlestar Galactica gets the nod.
Made the right choice.
Yeah. And what's so incredible about this show is that they took what was a terrible show back in the 70s and a ridiculous premise and made it into something amazing. The character work in Battlestar is phenomenal. The themes and the way that it explores our world through their world is absolutely great. A lot of people were unhappy with some of the twists in the last season and a half. I thought they worked, and I loved how the show ended.
Good. I also enjoyed that show, and I actually didn't start watching it until right before 4.5, if you want to call that season 4.5. So I caught it all up on DVD right up until maybe the last – I probably watched the last five episodes around the same time as everybody else. And then the only episode I actually watched when it originally aired was the finale of the entire show.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, congratulations for not having to be in suspense.
Thank you.
Yeah. Battlestar is a great show.
Good.
What's your number five?
My number five, and I'm afraid you're going to think this is low for me, but just wait till you see what else I have. My number five is Star Wars.
Yep, that's low.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's going to be higher on your list.
Yes, and I will wait till we get to it on my list for me to give my defense of it. But you give your reasons.
No, I love Star Wars as much as the next person, but maybe not as much as you, probably.
Yeah. No, because I understand the debate as far as why you'd rank it lower.
Yeah, because I look at it as a whole. Just like X-Files, I love Star Wars for what it is, but I can't love everything about Star Wars.
Exactly.
And I haven't really been keeping up on the whole Clone Wars cartoon.
Well, and when we say Star Wars, I consider the six movie saga.
So not any
not expanded universe.
Okay, no. I haven't read any of the books.
Because obviously, who has read all the books?
Yeah, no one. Yeah, I guess that's kind of what I was thinking also. But I did include Clone Wars also because that's the most recent thing happening.
Yeah. I understand your logic for ranking it lower. I will give my defense as to why I ranked it higher when I get to it.
So it is on your top five?
It is.
Spoiler alert.
Yep.
Okay, let's hear your number four.
My number four is the novel Dune by Frank Herbert.
Oh, you've talked about this before.
It is a great, great novel. I have not seen the David Lynch movie. I have seen the miniseries they made out of it on Sci-Fi, which I did not enjoy. It was not very well done. But Dune's a great story, a great adventure. Basically, the premise is that it takes place on the planet Arrakis, which is all desert. Tatooine, you know, Dune was highly influential on Star Wars and George Lucas' writing process.
So George Lucas actually used ideas from Dune in Star Wars.
Yes, he did.
He's admitted it.
So Tatooine is basically Arrakis, and the premise is that Paul Atreides, who is a member of the aristocracy that's running Arrakis, winds up out in the desert, and he is becomes the messiah of these people out there, and then amazing things happen that I won't describe because you do not like spoilers.
Thank you. So
but great novel. You've got to read it.
It's one book.
Well, there
are... Or is
it
a series?
It's a series, but I'm only putting the first book on.
Okay.
The second and third books are very good. The fourth book is very bizarre, but still good. And then I didn't much care for the fifth or sixth, all that much.
So there's six total in the series.
Six total, but then his son has actually written a whole bunch more, which I have not read.
Okay.
But in the Frank Herbert series, there's six novels. I would highly recommend the first one, and I would recommend the next couple, but they're not anywhere near as essential. They wouldn't even come close to my top five.
Great. All right. Well, it's interesting that you had a book as your number four.
I have a couple books on here.
Because my number four was going to be one of two series, and I just had to go with one, but I'm going to put the other one as an honorable mention.
Okay.
So I'm just going to tell the honorable mention first. Narnia, Chronicles of Narnia.
Great series.
Loved it. I read it when I was 10, read it again in adulthood. C.S. Lewis, of course, one of my favorite authors, but I couldn't put it on my top list. Instead, I replaced it with lesser known series that I've really enjoyed called The Circle Trilogy.
By Ted Decker.
By Ted Decker. You haven't read it, have you?
No.
And actually, it was originally The Circle Trilogy, but now that I think about it, they did recently release the fourth book.
It's not much of a trilogy anymore.
No. So here's the reason I like it. It's awesome. It ties in.
Great reason.
It ties in. He has an interesting perspective on God. And so he does show what he describes as good and evil only in a visible way. So yeah. The setup for the story, this is minor spoiler, but this is what's discussed within the first 1 to 2 chapters. So main character, whose name is Thomas, travels back and forth between... Is this too much spoiler for you?
No, I'm just waiting for the parallel universe part.
He does. He travels back and forth between two universes. Every time he falls asleep in one, he wakes up in the other. One is our world that we're used to here, and the other is a world that reveals spiritual things. So good and evil is very visible. God is ever-present, and chaos ensues.
Cool. Well, I'm going to have to check it out. You know, Narnia is kind of parallel universe, too.
It is, totally.
Yeah.
So I love Narnia, and it's more of the classic choice, but I wanted to mix it up and maybe share something that maybe Definitely. Somebody haven't heard of. So Ted Decker, it goes, this is the order, black, red, white, and green is the fourth one. And the way it originally came out, green was supposed to make it a circle. So green ends in a way that circles back around to black. So he had said, you could read green first or you can read green last.
Interesting.
But I contend you must read green fourth. It has to be. It has to be the last one. Because there was an outcry from the fans to the point of when they just recently released the collection of the four books.
Yeah.
He rewrote the fourth book and made an ending that is definitive, but then also included his original chapter. So
interesting
enough, I would say my decision to have it be the fourth book is also the overall opinion of the world.
The Dark Tower series ends similarly. I will not give any spoilers though.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
So
great ending.
Go ahead. Let's take your number three.
My number three is another novel.
Nice.
The second and final novel on my list, Lord of Light by Roger Zelazny.
Have you told me about this?
I probably have. Here's the premise of it. I absolutely love this book. The premise is that in the far future, humans have left Earth and they have colonized somewhere else. And they have grown so advanced in their technology that they're godlike. So a small group of humans... and this doesn't actually take place in the novel. This is all just backstory that's implied throughout. So this isn't any spoilers for the actual story.
Okay.
But a small group of humans takes over the entire colony and restricts technology just to themselves. Mm-hmm. They set themselves up as the Hindu pantheon.
Okay.
And rule over the rest of the population as gods. And so the story actually takes place way, way in the future from this, where nobody else remembers this but the small group of people in the pantheon.
So no one remembers technology, so it's as if they're gods?
Yes. So what the story is about is that one of the members of the pantheon rebels, and he sets himself up as the Buddha.
Okay.
And so he sets in order to draw the people away from Hinduism. It is a phenomenal book of spiritual themes and then post-humans, which I love the concept of post-humans, of what happens when we develop technology to the point where our humanity isn't even recognizable anymore. Great, great themes in that book. Absolutely love it. I've read it several times.
Is it one book or a series of books?
It is one book.
Oh, okay.
And it's actually just a couple hundred pages.
Interesting. Well, that would be more likely for me to take on at this point in my life.
Definitely.
One like the 13 books with a prequel that you talked about earlier.
Yeah, it is my second favorite novel behind Lord of the Rings. But since this is only a sci-fi list, Lord of the Rings won't be here.
Interesting. For my number three... I also have something that would be in book form. However, it would be in comic book form.
Nice.
And often when people ask me, who's your favorite superhero? I have a hard time deciding between two. Do you know my two favorite superheroes?
Spider-Man.
And?
Batman.
Correct. So I had to give it a tie because in my everyday life, I can never pick.
Yeah.
I love both Spider-Man and Batman.
Great characters.
And I love putting superheroes under science fiction because, hello, they have powers typically, except for Batman...
Batman doesn't really have not powers, so much power. But he does technology.
Advanced
and stuff.
Technology.
And Spider-Man is bitten by a genetic spider.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is Spider-Man and Batman both are accessible to readers for different reasons. Batman, because he's totally human, no powers.
Yep.
So we can relate to him in that way.
Yep.
And Spider-Man, because he got bit when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And so he's very relatable because he's not really... He doesn't
totally
have
the high school experience.
Yeah, he doesn't have it all together. So Spider-Man was probably the first comic book I read.
Yeah.
But I loved the Batman animated series in the 90s. And of course, the most recent Batman movies have been really good. So,
and we just don't even need to talk about Batman and Robin.
You know, I just realized, though, I don't know when the last time I read a Batman actual comic book was. I just really like the character.
You could read one tonight. I've got some good ones.
All right. So, yeah.
Have you ever read Year One?
No, but I've heard of it.
Oh, it's so good. It's downstairs and it's short.
Okay. Yeah. I actually have heard quite a bit about it. So I sort of know how it goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess Spider-Man and Batman as characters are my number three.
Sweet. So my one and two, and I'll just read two, but I got to tell you that I had a very, very intense mental debate about these.
Okay.
And it was close. And once I get to number one, I'll explain why that one won out.
So number two must be Star Wars.
No, number two is Firefly.
Really? But you already put Joss Whedon on your current list. Oh, so it's
But
both.
This is just Firefly.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't watched all of Buffy yet, so I can't put it as being on my top five. But yeah, Joss Whedon makes both. I mean, I'm into him right now. We forgot to mention Dr. Horrible, too.
Oh, yeah. So that was awesome.
Dr. Horrible's great. You got to go see it. So just another mutant enemy. A Joss Whedon project. Mm-hmm. But Firefly is absolutely incredible. It is a crime against humanity that it is no longer, that it was canceled after only 14 episodes.
Yeah.
Every episode in that show is great.
It was.
And what I love about that is that I'm not a huge fan of standalone episodes, like mm-hmm. I mentioned. I love the standalone episodes in it because the characters are so good. Same thing with Buffy, at least in the later seasons, is that just the characters are so strong that the standalone episodes work really, really well in that series.
I'm glad that we shared that series together.
It was so good.
It was the one and only series we've ever watched.
And I've actually watched the entire thing again since then.
I know, I have not.
Oh,
I haven't even watched the special features.
It's so good. I love Firefly. If you haven't seen it, best show ever made. And you can watch it and then cry with the rest of us that it's canceled.
Yes. My number two. Do I go on to number one?
No. Go for number two.
My number two is a series of movies. My favorite, probably my favorite trilogy as movies go.
Wait. It's not Star Wars.
It's not Star Wars.
I'm about to be really ashamed of you.
Back to the Future.
I've only seen the first one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the first one's probably the best. Second one I really, really like.
Yeah.
Third one's probably my least favorite. But for my childhood memories, for how much fun it is, how many times I've viewed it, I probably watched those movies more than any other movies that exist.
You're putting this ahead of A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi.
For me.
You said favorite trilogy. So we're not even talking the prequels here. We're talking original trilogy Star Wars versus Back to the Future.
I'm saying Star Wars might be better quality or of storytelling, but Back to the Future, to me, it hits home.
So this is favorite as opposed to best.
Yeah, that's what we said.
Okay.
Top five favorites.
Okay. That works.
It's also the listeners can get to know what we like.
Yeah.
So Back to the Future, I love it. I probably would have to, of course, one is typically what people would say their favorite is, but I like number two the best.
Yeah, I've seen the first one. It's a great movie.
When you watch number two, just check out the hoverboards.
Okay.
I've wanted a hoverboard ever since I was
I'll
youngish.
Be sure to do that. I'd probably just need to start with one again because it's been a very long time since I've seen it.
All right. Oh, I have it on Blu-ray now, so if you want to
We'll borrow it from you sometime.
Excellent. I'm ready for your number one.
My number one is not a surprise.
Not at all.
Star Wars.
Star Wars. Episode one.
No, not that one. That's the one we pretend doesn't exist. Here's my argument, because I'm not the most rabid prequel hater out there,
mm-hmm.
but, dude, Phantom Menace is a horrible movie.
In general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Attack of the Clones is pretty bad.
I loved Attack of the Clones. Loved it.
Pacing is awful in that movie.
I like clones.
And then Revenge of the Sith is the best of the prequel trilogy, but even there, it's not amazing. Here is why I would rank this as number one. Empire Strikes Back is, in my mind, a perfect film. And there's very few movies that you can say that about, that everything works perfectly in that movie. It has a perfect mix of drama and action and romance and humor and characters. And everything in that movie is just note perfect. I would not change a thing in it. All the other Star Wars I can nitpick on. The first one, A New Hope, the special effects weren't as good. Mm-hmm. You know, the storytelling wasn't as developed. Return of the Jedi, we have Ewoks. And the less we say about them, the better.
And number three also had those huge things that, like, the big, tall, walkie things.
The AT-ATs.
Yeah, those are awesome.
Those were really sweet. So Empire Strikes Back is just a perfect, perfect movie.
I said number three, but I meant original number three. So actually, episode six.
No.
Yeah, episode six. What are those big walkie things that we talked about the other day?
Yeah, AT-ATs. Those are in Empire Strikes Back. That's number five.
My mistake. I'm sorry.
So here's why it won out over Firefly.
Okay.
Because Firefly would not exist without Star Wars. Because Mal Reynolds is Han Solo. Hmm. The Serenity is the Millennium Falcon. I mean, obviously with different twists, and I'm not saying that's a direct copy.
Yeah.
But the influence is so strong there. And Joss Whedon's even acknowledged it, that, you know, he's basically taking the concept of Han Solo and the Millennium Falcon and doing a show about it. Good. So Firefly loses that debate because of dependency, that it would not exist without Star Wars.
Can I retract one of my statements I said earlier?
Sure.
I don't love Attack of the Clones, but I enjoyed it. I don't hate it, that's for sure.
It's got some good stuff in it, but it also has some pretty weak stuff in it.
But Empire Strikes Back, by far the best. I agree with that.
It's a perfect film.
Good. Are you ready
for I could watch it on repeat for the rest of my life.
Are you ready for my unsurprising number one?
Yes.
And my number one all-time favorite sci-fi thing.
Does it begin with an L and end with an Ost?
It is Lost.
Yep.
I love this show. And anybody that knows me knows I went through some serious stages of obsession with this show, posting about it online, making videos about every episode I would do. I did something called the Lost Report during the last season.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier.
I know. And I did a pre-show, like a preview show, where I would guess what was going to happen on that episode.
Yep.
I would do an initial reaction, and then I would do other call-in line things when I would call other podcasts and talk about it. And so tons of videos. Here's what I like about Lost. Besides the fact that the genre interests me and all the craziness interests me, I was also fascinated with the characters, which is really what it was all about. I love the way that they flashback and they would teach us something about each character's past.
Totally.
And we would get to know them. Because you can't care about a story unless you care about the characters within the story.
Yeah.
And they did an awesome, amazing job at making you care about
absolutely
almost every character. There was some characters I didn't get Kate behind. Yeah, I hated Kate. But, I loved Lost.
So here's my 30-second take on Lost and why it did not make my top five.
Okay.
Lost had three things going for it that kept you coming back.
Okay.
Characters.
Mm-hmm.
Themes,
yes,
like live together, die alone, faith versus science, that type of thing, mm-hmm. And mystery.
The mystery was huge to me.
The characters and the themes in that show are perfect. They are perfectly done. Everything about what they do works, mm-hmm. virtually. You know, in long six seasons, you're going to have a few missteps, but thematically, the show's amazing. Character-wise, the show's amazing. The mysteries ultimately were a bit of a disappointment. Not horrible.
I didn't feel disappointed. I mean, there are some things that they never addressed.
Yep.
But think about real life. In real life, there's some mysteries about our life, things about people we know.
But drama isn't real life.
I know, but it's reflective of real life.
Yeah, so, but they can't put this stuff out there and say, this is a big focal point of our show, and then never address it. They did several things.
They've always said that the focal point of their show is the characters, and every character story was resolved.
Okay, but then why does every single episode end on a mystery cliffhanger?
To keep you coming back, because it's a mystery show to entertain you. But
contrast this with Buffy, that has a lot of mystery going on, lots of big arcs,
mm-hmm.
but virtually every episode ends on a character moment. The emphasis on that show is very much on the characters, and that's where the show ends.
On Buffy. Okay.
It always ends with showing you what's going on in the characters' lives, because that's what we care about.
Okay.
Lost really promoted the mystery. So while I agree characters are huge, it's disingenuous for the creators to say that this was just a character show. No, it wasn't.
Well, think about this. The end of an episode isn't, I mean, a lot of people would complain this episode was bad, this episode was awesome,
yeah,
whatever. But the episodes aren't meant to be viewed in an isolated state. They're a grand story. So each season, really, they viewed as a book.
Yeah.
So each episode was like a chapter. So chapters and books end in a way that intrigues you, so you want to turn the page and go to the next one. It doesn't necessarily have to be something heartfelt about the character. So,
but
it was,
see, that's where I disagree with the
story. This is their storytelling style, and yeah, it totally worked. How many people want, when it ended, was
but
like,
then
no,
ultimately they didn't answer a lot of stuff, and so for that to be their storytelling style and then not resolve a lot of mysteries was a mistake. Not everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, they resolved the big stuff.
Yeah, everything important
but,
was resolved.
But stuff like in season three, there's this whole big deal about why can't women on the island give birth?
Resolved.
Kind of implied, but they never come out and actually explain it.
They explained it.
No.
I don't want to say it on here, but it's explained in The New Man in Charge, which is
a bonus feature on the DVD, not in the main show.
True, but it is still in canon. It is still okay. It's not. It's a narrative. It's not.
But
like
here would be my
the
point.
The creators are just saying
is that
there.
That was the big one of the big mysteries of season three.
Yeah.
That should have been resolved in season three.
You do realize though that the writer's strike put a wrench in some of their plans
in season four.
Right. So if you're going to solve something from season three, where do you solve it?
In season three, what I'm saying is that there should be those more minor mysteries that aren't part of the whole overarching storyline should have been solved in every season.
Okay, but they didn't know that there was going to be a writer's strike. They had plans.
Sure.
Then they sought out to answer these questions down the road. Some things get left behind, but they answered every important mystery and they resolved every character's story.
But I would have liked. I wanted to find out why there was so much Egyptian stuff, symbolism going on the island. I wanted to find out those types of things. That was never addressed. I wanted to find out more about Jacob and the Man in Black and what was the real history of the island. We never found that out.
That's not spoiling anything for those listeners.
No, just saying names.
Yeah, so let's stop this conversation. We could probably continue it in the future, but
we'll have a Lost show.
Lost, my number one.
And I love Lost. Far. I'm just saying that in some ways, and I'm not somebody who would say they did a terrible job with the mysteries, mm-hmm, but it was not as satisfactory as it needed to be.
You know, we've went into quite a bit of discussion about our top fives. Let's quickly, without too much explanation, give some other honorable mentions. I'll let you go ahead and go first.
So my honorable mention, starting with the X-Files that I already mentioned, mm-hmm, a little bit. Great show. Could have easily made the top five if it wasn't for the last couple seasons. Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury.
I read that book.
Love that book. It is phenomenal. Love Ray Bradbury. Lost, which we just discussed at length.
It's about time you get some respect.
Aliens, which you have not seen.
Not seen.
I'm talking about the second movie. Alien is the first one. Aliens, plural, second one.
Got it.
Phenomenal action horror sci-fi movie. And then finally, a book that most people probably haven't heard of called Inverted World by Christopher Priest.
Have not heard of it.
It is a great sci-fi novel. Takes place in a post-apocalyptic future. And another one where you don't really want to know a whole lot about it going in, but when you actually sit down and read it, it's an incredible experience.
Awesome. I'm about to take out of my bag a few things to show you.
Okay.
In my hand, I hold the complete collection of The Planet of the Apes.
Well done.
This is one of my honorable mentions. I also like the TV show called Sliders. That ring a bell?
You've talked about it, but I've never seen it.
Battlestar Galactica was one of my honorable mentions, as was X-Files.
Yep.
Have you heard of the TV show from the 90s called Quantum Leap?
Yeah, we've talked about it.
I think it was late 80s also.
Yeah.
I loved Quantum Leap. So, honorable mention. The Matrix.
Oh,
That was a good one. Of course, one was amazing. Two was, I really liked it. Some people hated it. And three, I can't get behind.
See, I feel the exact opposite about the sequels.
You like three better?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've viewed it many times. I've seen all three.
Two is boring.
I've seen all three many, many times. No. There's this point in movie in Reloaded where everything from that point on is interesting, I think.
Yes, but that point on is a solid hour into the movie. Everything before that is pretty boring.
Well, there's some things that are not as good, but there's good parts of Revolution, but
neither one of them is nearly as good as the first.
I also put something on here that I don't know how science fiction-y it is, but you never watched Alias.
No.
There are some genre-y things inside there.
Hey, I'd count it.
So I put Alias on there because I love it. Groundhog's Day.
Oh, great movie. Bill Murray.
Honorable mention. And along the same lines is a canceled television show called Daybreak.
Yeah, which I watched.
Yes, because I gave you,
gave me a copy
of it. So
that was a good show. I wouldn't include it as one of my all-time favorites, no, but I enjoyed it.
Good honorable mention. And my final honorable mention is the X-Men.
Oh, yeah. I am not a huge X-Men fan.
Here's what I like about the X-Men. Again, I go back to my childhood quite a bit, and there was a cartoon during the 90s when I was a child, and I followed it rabidly. In fact, this is probably the first serialized show I really watched, because even for a kids' cartoon, they had continuing stories, and they often started the cartoon with previously on the X-Men.
Yeah, so that was a good cartoon.
I really liked it.
Yeah, my experience with the X-Men is I love the 2 years Joss Whedon wrote Astonishing X-Men.
Yes.
Those are great. I'm not a huge fan of any of the movies. I enjoy the first two okay, but like some people absolutely love X2, and I don't.
Two is better than one. Three is almost unwatchable.
Three is okay.
I literally laughed in the movie theater at some of the dumbness in it.
I would have to watch it again. I didn't hate it, but I also didn't love the other two. Bryan Singer is not that great of a director, in my opinion, outside of The Usual Suspects.
Oh, good movie.
That's a great movie. But Superman Returns. Oh, my gosh.
I don't hate that movie.
I hate Superman, and I hated that movie.
I don't love Superman Returns, but I don't hate it. It's okay.
I wanted to slam my face in the door rather than sit through that movie again.
It's really not much action in it.
It's so boring.
Well, Ben, we've done a lot of talking about things we like.
We have.
What can we look forward to, or what can the listeners look forward to in upcoming episodes?
Well, hopefully we're going to do a review pretty soon of the movie Green Hornet, which is coming out this weekend, so we're looking forward to that.
Yes.
We got to do our Is Jesus a Zombie discussion.
I'd like to do eventually, in a biblical worldview, are alternate realities possible?
Yeah, for sure.
Or along the same lines, how does time travel fit with God?
Well, next week we got to do something that would tie in the Christian part, because we mostly just talked about the sci-fi part today. Good so point. We'll have to tie that in next week.
So,
but, for all of our listeners out there, if you want to send us in some of your favorite shows, we would love to interact with you about them and tell you why you're wrong, unless your list agrees with mine.
But no, I mean, we could read them on there, and maybe hopefully there's been some things that we've forgotten, and the listeners can say, hey, don't you remember?
I'm kind of ashamed for not even thinking of The Matrix. That totally is an honorable mention now of mine. I just wasn't thinking of it.
So, yeah. So, tell them the email.
Oh, Dark City. Have you ever seen Dark City? Seen that. That's going to be another honorable mention.
Let's give our listeners the email that they can email us at.
They can email. If you want to email us individually, you can do Ben or Matt at scifichristianpodcast.com. Or if you want to hit both of us, you can do feedback at scifichristianpodcast.com.
What was that? Sci-Fi Christian
Podcast. Christian Podcast.
So, yes, again. So I am Matt at Sci-Fi Christian Podcast.
And I am Ben at scifichristianpodcast.com.
And you can also email us at feedback at scifichristianpodcast.com.
So actually,
do we really need all three? We should
We don't. See, here's the way I have our email set up. Is that if there's only two email accounts, yours and mine, and then anything else they send to at Sci-Fi Christian Podcast.
Just go to yours.
Yeah.
I knew it.
So if they send it to you big jerks at scifichristianpodcast.com, we'll get it.
Okay.
But I said feedback because that sounds nicer.
Yeah. Good. So I'm really glad you guys joined us for the very first episode. I guess we can look forward to some more theology mixed with sci-fi
coming at you at warp speed.
That's right. So that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I am Ben DiBono.
And this is the Sci-Fi Christian signing off.
Good night.